Tell me all about it. Why you going to the napkin?
Am I going to check where you want me to start?
I'm telling you about coming to Midland. How did you decide to come to Midland?
Well, the way we decided, Dodo was making a good salary as city ticket agent in Marshall, Texas. And that is a big exchange where all the different trains come in and go in different directions. It was quite a nice job and quite a well-paying job. But we kept count of all of our nickels, and one day there was a Mr. Jemison came in who had been visiting his mother in Marshall, Texas, and bought a ticket to Midland. And Fred asked him all about Midland, and he said he wanted to get away from railroading because he felt like he'd gone about as far as he could go. And he was anxious to make a change, and Mr. Jemison, in order to promote, I think, selling a lot of his, why he told Fred to come over to Midland and open up a drive-in service station, that there wasn't one in that part of the country, and they needed one. So we came out, got us a pass on the train, and came out and looked it over and stayed with the Jemisons, and saw the lot that he had, which was down in sort of the east part of the town, and that he had to sell. So we went on back, and before we went back though, we went over in the little bandstand that was on the courthouse square, and sat out there and counted the cars that went by the corner that we eventually bought, which was the corner of Wall and Lorraine. And then we went over on the south side to this Southside school house and sat on the steps and pondered it over and decided that we couldn't use Mr. Jemison's lot. We were sorry. So we contacted the owners of the lot up across from the courthouse. One was Mr. Watson, who owned the Reporter Telegram, I believe. I believe that's what he did. And so we priced his lot and went back home to consider it. And we mulled it over again and talked about it and decided we'd let Mr. Jemison know that we were going to get this other lot. Now, we looked around first, though, to see where gasoline was sold and where tires were sold and all of that. And there was one across the street, which now I believe is in about the location of, what is in there? Well, it was directly south of the courthouse across the street. And it had two pumps out in front, and it had a button on the bell to ring for service, and had a little sign up above the bell and says, "Ring for service." And Mr. Johnny Nobles owned that and ran that garage. And so we definitely decided we needed a drive-in service station, but the trouble was we didn't have any money. So we went home and counted our money, and we had $500. Fred sent in his resignation, bought the lot, borrowed the money, and we moved to Midland. And
how old were you?
Well, we had been married. We married in 21, and we came out here in 23. Mm-hmm. So that's when we came. And there weren't any apartments or any houses very much. But we finally did get a downstairs of the old Cowden home that was located where the Midland High School is now. And the jackrabbits were out there, and it was quite a ways out, and it had been the old John M. Cowden home. And Mr. and Ms. Dick Cowden lived upstairs, and we got the downstairs. And after a while, we had quite a bit of trouble getting started because it was winter, and a foundation for our filling station was on the verge of freezing, and Mr. Wimple was home, Fred was home with what I thought, pneumonia. It was a very bad case of flu, I guess. And the Cowden home was lovely. It was built just with beautiful wood and had the wainscoting and everything was just gorgeous. And the floors were hardwood floors. They were just beautiful. But it was old and the windows were not very secure. And we just almost froze and we had a big fireplace. So I had to bring the firewood in because help was just, you just couldn't get it. And kept a fire going all night and pulled his bed right close up against the fireplace. And he finally got well, and we went on with our building. Then we had to have some more money. And Mr. Ulmer was real nice to us, but we hated to ask him for any more favors. And he was the First National Bank then, on the corner of Main and Lorraine. And so Mr. Wimble had a friend with the railroad that he had known for years and years. And he was a bachelor, so he went over to Big Spring. He was working in Big Spring. He was a telegraph operator. And he went over and borrowed some money from him. And this man told him, he said, "Well, Fred, I'll let you have whatever you want." So we borrowed, I believe, $700 from him. And the telegraph operator just opened his desk drawer and pulled out the $700 in cash and handed it to him. And he came home, and of course
Where did the telegraph operator get $700?
I guess he saved it. He was a bachelor, uh-huh. You know. And then I guess he just saved it, and he didn't have any luxuries much. And anyway, he was really a friend. And
what was his name?
I can't think of his name. I have it somewhere, but I don't. He didn't have any people. He didn't have any relatives or anything. You know, he was just kind of a loner. But anyway, Fred got off the train. He went over on the train to Big Spring, and then he came back, and he got off the train, and I was real anxious, and he wouldn't tell me a thing. He wouldn't tell me whether he got the money or whether he was kicked out or what. So we walked in the First National Bank, and he walked up the window and threw out that $700 on the window. And I don't know who was the most astonished, me or Mr. Ulmer, when he did that, because I near fainted. That was a lot of money then. So then we went on with our work, and finally, eventually, we opened that little two-drive service station, and we had beautiful lights up under the canopies and things, and it was real exciting, and people drove in and admired it that night that we opened it and everything, and seemed real proud of it. And so, of course, business grew, and we enlarged as it grew. And
Was Dota pumping the gas originally?
Dota was pumping the gas, and one day Mr. Watson drove in for his car to be filled, and it was the hottest day in July that I can imagine. And the hose with the brass end on it, you know, to put the gas in the car, Dota was filling up the car, and it fell out on the concrete drive, and the sparks flashed up and caught the fire. They caught the car on fire. That was Mr. Watson's car, and burned Dota's hands real bad. And Mr. Watson said, "I've got the best doctor over here on Main Street, Dr. Calloway, who had a frame house over on Main Street about between where the hardware, the furniture store and the shoe store is, right in there." And he was in a wooden house, and he didn't keep it up too well, but he was a fine doctor, so he gave Dota some stuff to put on his hands, and he came through without a scar or anything, and he had great big blisters, just high blisters on his hands. It was a very bad burn, and on both hands. But yeah, he pumped gasoline, he changed tires, and he did all of it. And I went down every night and did the books, one month's books. And but we did keep a record on everything, and before we ever came to Midland, we kept books on everything we spent, even a package of cigarettes. And that's the way we saved. that $500. That's what we started out with. Anyway, he got a franchise on puncture-proof tubes. And we went all over West Texas to ranches and everything, selling those puncture-proof tubes to dealers. And we did real well with those. And they were wonderful. The ranchers just loved them because they could drive all over the mesquite bushes and everything, you know, and not have puncture and flat tires. And so we did real well with that. And then we just went from that to enlarging again and had real good servicemen. They were just excellent.
Was it, were you all in a Firestone or something like that?
With Firestone? No, we didn't have anything. It was just an independent thing. We could get what we wanted. We changed tires several different times of brands, you know, that had come out with better tires and as we went along. And then the puncture roof tubes we were proud of. But all mobile gas, mostly. Guff a while. Mr. Al Stanley, I think, was a Guff agent, and he was a real good friend. And
Mr.
Al Stanley. And then we got into mobile, and he got the agency for the mobile gas. And then we went on to another service station up where the Midland Savings or Gibraltar Savings is now. And had a service station up there. It was beautiful. Beautiful one.
That was for Dota.
Oh.
What is it, darling? I was reading here. Well, I hear something. Let's see what this is.
How did Midland look the first time you saw it?
Is this on?
Yeah.
It was dusty, and none of the streets were paved. All the streets were in dirt, and the road from here to Odessa was it was about 4 or 5 miles out toward Odessa. The sand was so deep that you'd just stop, bog down, and it was a nice little town. It was, of course, just the right place in the road then, but much better than it had been, I'm sure. But we loved it. We loved the people. They were friendly, and everybody looked after you, and a lot of visiting, and a lot of everybody, of course, was busy. The ranchers would come in. We'd always enjoy them. We had an apartment with a Mrs. Frank Ingham, Mr. and Ms. Frank Ingham, and they were ranch people, and we were thrilled to death to get the apartment, though it was the only apartment in Midland that had a private bath, and that was quite a treat. And then we'd been here, I guess, about a year, I guess, when we got that apartment. We moved from the Calvin House over to Ingham's.
Was the service station opening about the same time?
Oh, no, the service station was opening in 23. Let's see, And then we had the fire, you know. That was I forgot the date on that too.
The fire.
You do.
Well, I remember everybody talking about.
Yeah. Well, we moved to the Inghams, and we loved that. And we were there when our first little girl was born, and we stayed there until Alan was born, and then Ms. Ingham told us we could stay until the children wrote on the wall. So they never did write on the wall, but we did need more room, so we started building our home. And that was the house on North Lorraine. That was 1929. And we lived there, of course, until 1977. 1976, Yeah, we lived there in 76. And, well, we built that. We had a Western Auto Store.
Oh, you had a Western Auto
Store? We had a Western Auto Store. That was during World War II. we had opened it just before World War II.
On that same line?
Right next to where the service station was. We gradually bought those buildings. Mm-hmm. And then we added all those buildings to it. And then we bought the one just next to the old post office. And but the Western Auto Store was during World War II. And that was good. And
well, how did you ever get in the music business?
Well, when Edith came home from college, Daddy bought that building next to the old post office and put records. I had records in the Western Auto Store. That was my baby to start out with working. That's the first time I'd ever worked in public, and I loved it. But he bought that and moved the record to business in there, and we sold our Western Auto Store. And it was moved down on South Main, I believe. And he moved the record business in there to give her something to do when she got home from college. And she had a lot of fun because this bombardier school was out here. And a lot of those guys liked good records. And they kept coming in. And we had them in the Western Auto. They enjoyed that. And they really bought good records, classical records. And
they didn't buy jazz?
Didn't have much jazz then, but yeah, they
Benny Goodman.
Yeah, they bought Benny Goodman, Vaughn Monroe, and all those popular. We had a lot of popular, but those boys, especially the boys that came from the East, they really did buy the good classical records.
Is that right?
Yeah, they were.
A lot of them ended up staying, didn't they?
Yes, A lot of the boys stayed here and married Midland girls, and made beautiful citizens. And but anyway, then we just gradually got into the music, the pianos and organs, and they come around, you know, and want us to take their line. And Dodo really built up and then we had our service then had because of appliances, we had added appliances too, and because of all of that, we had to have a service building, and that was over on South Side, I believe it was Dakota Street or somewhere over in there. We had a good service department and about five men that worked in the service department over there. And some of them still around in that type of business, and also some of the people that work for us, like Bose Hoskins over in Odessa that has the Magnavox line. And he was with us too. And they were good. All of them were just excellent. And Dick Whitson, who has passed away, but we had a lot of good servicemen in that filling station. They were just great. They really were good. Percy Bridgewater was Mr. Wimble's second-hand, right-hand man, I mean, for several years, and he was excellent, good businessman. And
evidently.
And
they don't put bad ones as presidents.
No, he was good. He really was good. We had some good men, and girls too. We had some good girls in the record department. And then I got squared off on my antique glass and antique things, and mostly cut glass, and loved it. Just loved it, and had some lovely customers. Then we went, of course, we got rid of them. Wholesale. Well, we put the service station up on where the Gibraltar Savings is. I told you about that. And that was beautiful. And it was a beautiful station. And we liked it until we sold it. And then Hank Avery and Dota bought that lot just adjoining where our service station was. Then the two of them sold it to the Gibraltar, or Men and Savings, to put that building up. And first,
say,
and
which one was that?
That was Everetti, up on the corner, right where Gibraltar Savings is. We had the two, all at one time. Mm-hmm. And then we had, where the old Presbyterian church was, right across the street, we, Dota bought that old Presbyterian church. And now I think that's where the First National Bank is. No, it's Cross Prayer. Across from the First National Bank that they have bought now. where they're building on now. Mm-hmm. But that's, it was the Magnolia Building, I think, was there.
Yeah, wasn't there a Gulf station right next to
that? Yeah, uh-huh. Magnolia Building bought the old Presbyterian church place. And then the First National Bank bought the Magnolia Building. And then right next to it was a little 25-foot lot that Doak kept when he sold the church. That I sold, I think, the year that he was, after that he died, I believe, to the First National Bank. And that just about takes it all in. And oh, the Hank was in on those last buildings down there on that block. Hank and the two boys and Dota bought that. And then Hank sold his part to the two boys and Daddy. And that is the upstairs part in the three buildings, see. Mm-hmm. And
what is that, a trust fund or something like that?
Yeah, that's at my part. I own individually, or the estate owns. It really isn't. Yeah, I guess you call it a trust fund. But I see who that is. I think it's your mother. And anyway, I own three of them. I own Kirkland's and the Paperclip and House. And then the other three are Ted and Alan and me. And of course, my part is all considered the estate, which I am trustee for. And where do we go from there?
Well, let's go back, because
okay.
We kind of got
off.
Well, we didn't get off, but we just kind of took a detour straight up all the way to the present.
Okay.
But I'd like to know more about, what life was like. What was a typical day like when?
Nothing. What was typical?
What was a typical day like right after you opened the service station?
Oh, it was something. We brought a little boy out here from Blossom that was just excellent. He was just the best mechanic and the best all-around little old workman I've ever seen. Who's there?
Hold on. Yeah.
What? Where are we now? Where you want to go back?
We were a typical day right after you opened the...
Typical day right after we opened. Well, it's a typical day right after we opened. Well, I'll tell you one funny thing. When that fire happened, the car caught on fire way back there, Mr. Watson's car.
How long was that after you opened?
Oh, no, just very soon, before we expanded any. And we were staying at Ms. Ingham's then, and it was before we had any children. And but I had a dog, a big collie dog. And I had on the prettiest red dotted Swiss dress that my mother had made and sent to me. And they called me about that fire, somebody. And I started running down the street. It was a sandy street. It wasn't a pavement, but I was running to see about that fire. I was worried, of course. And that dog, and me in that red dress, and I imagine that was something to see. But anyway, that was one of the things. It was one of the little funny things. There were many, but anyway, when we first came, we got very discouraged. It was while Fred was sick. And we were a little low on money, quite a bit low on money. And we still hadn't opened up, and it was cold, and our foundation was about to freeze. And Mr. Howe, John Howe, who had a plumbing store right next to our service station, came out and told Fred that he would take care of it for him, that he would put out something on it. I don't remember what, but anyway. So that night, Mrs. Ulmer and Mrs. Thomas came by and picked me up to go to the Methodist Church to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and there were some people down from Lubbock meeting with us. And I never heard so much encouragement as they gave Midland in the growth, the expected growth of Midland. And we had just about decided we were going to give up and go back to East Texas and take our $500 a month job. So,
that's good pay.
Yes, it was. In those days, that was a lovely salary, but that's what we gave up to come to Midland. And just on a really, our folks thought we were crazy. But anyway, I went to that Chamber of Commerce meeting and came home quite elated and just imagining all kind of good things. And I walked in and I said, "Fred, we're not leaving Midland. We're going to stay in Midland." So he just laughed at me. But I got to tell him about all the things that we're talking about and everything. And that's when he decided to go to Big Spring and ask this guy for the $700, but that's what he got. But I don't, he didn't ask him for any particular amount. And so we stayed. So here we are. But just a typical day, well, would be just not much of anything. Really, there wasn't anything much to do. I played bridge some, but not until later.
You'd get up and fix breakfast?
I'd get up and have our breakfast, and then Leroy Whitson, who came out from Blossom to help us, I had a room at Ms. Ingham's, joining our apartment, and he ate with us and fixed, and bless his heart, he could live on red beans too. But anyway, we had some friends come out from Paris and Blossom, and they went quail hunting and brought the quail home, and we had a big quail fry. And so I don't remember where they stayed. We didn't have room for them. I imagine they stayed at the Haley Hotel. I'm not sure. Don't remember. But
was that the only hotel
now? Yeah. The Lano. Lano was here. The old Lano Hotel.
Lano
and the Haley? No, Lano wasn't here. The Midland National Bank was there when we came to Midland, right where the Lano Hotel is.
Uh-huh.
And then the First National Bank was just across south of, across the Wall Street, on the corner where that building is now. Same building, I think they still own it. But then the Atlanta Hotel. Yeah, the Haley Hotel was the only one, except Mr. Jemison. He had kind of an old wooden frame house. He rented rooms, you know, that we looked at his lots, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was he?
And there's a little Midland hotel down that way, but they weren't there then. What was what?
What was Jemison like?
Jemison, he was kind of like a cattle man. He was a large man, wore a big hat, and he was, I don't know whether he had a ranch or not. He took us out to the Brunson Ranch when we first came out here, our first trip out here. He took us out there, and we had made some pictures with the cattle and beautiful cattle, and it was out there where the Thomas Funeral Home is now.
Mm-hmm.
Was Mr. Brunson's home. And then we went back and then came back and decided on this other lot. I don't know why we were so inexperienced in anything that except railroading.
Why did you pick
That's for Mr.
Station.
Well, because Mr. Jemison suggested it, because they didn't have one in between Abilene and or Fort Worth then and El Paso. There wasn't a modern drive-in service station, and he said that was about the only thing he could think of that Midland needed, and that was very helpful, and we were very lucky to have such information from somebody that really new, I'm sure. But that's how it comes to pick that.
Was there a US 80 then?
Yeah. And all of the people that were going on the way to California or on west, you know, came through here then. They didn't have this northern, north road across the out to, and some still do go this way. It depends on where you're going in Colorado or California either. But they had to have their water bags on their cars, you know, and their cars then would get so hot, they get out of water and everything on the through the desert. It was quite a trip. And we made some very good friends and met a lot of people from out of state going this way. It was an interesting business. It was so much more interesting than it is now, because you did come in contact with so many people from different states driving through. And it was an interesting experience. It's we've had other businesses, but I believe that was the most interesting, fascinating.
Because you could sign, I guess it wasn't like you had self-service or anything like that. I mean, you could stop and talk.
Oh,
and
no, we didn't. We didn't have self-service. You had to clean the windshield. You had to put water in the radiator, and you had to check the oil and stand there and hold that old nozzle most of the time, putting the gasoline in, you know. They didn't have the one that you just put in and walk off and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the trouble when that would fell out. Nobody was holding it and caught on fire, you know. Then we had another big fire. That was the car that burned, but our complete service station and shop and everything caught on fire from something inside the shop where they were working. And it burned, and we were in Blossom at the time on our way to a Rotary convention up in the east. And so we came back, Fred did, to see about it, and it was something else. It had burned completely. And Jerry Phillips was with us then. He was our bookkeeper, and he was sitting out there in a chair kind of guarding the service station when Fred got here. And he came on the train, and we had a Overland car, but that was a little slow to come for the... We usually took the train all the time until the roads were... The highway was just so bad. And this little narrow highway, most of it dirt, you know, even into going into Dallas or anywhere you go, wasn't very much pavement. I think maybe that's the reason Fred became interested in highways, building highways. We had such a chore of getting around when we first came out in this country, but it certainly has changed.
Okay. Yeah, the interstates.
Yeah, four lanes, interstates. What else is in here?
Well, get up in the morning, did you have red beans for breakfast?
Oh, we had red beans for weeks. We had bread. We were living in the cotton home. That's what we lived on, was red beans. That was all we could buy. That's all we had. We loved the ranch people that came in. They were just really wonderful ranch people. Most of them had either part of their home to use, or just like Ms. Ingham, you know, she could afford to, her family had all married and had their homes, and she had that private bath, those two rooms that, you know, were available, and they'd just come in from the ranch, and I just loved it when they'd come in. Of course, ranching was just all new to me. I just didn't. Used to farming, rich farming country, and I thought we'd starve to death out here. I never seen such bare, nothing but, it seemed to me like tumbleweeds and just nothing. I couldn't see how the cattle even lived on this kind of grass. I was used to those rich farmlands and the gorgeous meadows, you know, and everything by the cattle, and I just couldn't imagine how they'd live. But listen, these old ranches did all right. They always told us they were broke, but they sure did all right.
They had enough to build a house in town, huh?
Well, yeah, that's about all they could do. And as some of the ranches had tutors for their children out on the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
But some would come in and stay during the school term and then go to the ranch, you know, for the rest of the year. And it was so interesting, and such fine people to be with and know. But I just wish we had had some of that getting these hard wells on. But we never did get too interested in ranching or owning land anymore. Than we just never got quite involved in that. Wish I had, but we haven't. We've been blessed quite a bit, so.
Okay, then you go down to the, did you stay at home or?
I stayed at home. I'd go down late of an evening and stay until they closed at night.
Mm-hmm. In order, what time did they close?
In about 10 o'clock, I guess.
Is that right? Uh-huh. Stayed open that
long? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we'd come home and we'd bring our little bag of daily money or any charges and things like that. We had a lot of charges that they'd pay once a year or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Ranchers did that then, even the grocery bills, I think they paid about once a year, which was a kind of a custom, I think. When, and we liked it. When we first came, I got off the train and Fred met me and we went to the bank. He wanted me to meet Mr. Elmer because Mr. Elmer had been so good to him. And Mr. Elmer said, "Miss Mumpin, I've got a Sunday school class for you." And I said, "A Sunday school class?" Yeah, he had me a Sunday school class of boys. I had taught in Marshall, but I had girls, but I had always liked to teach the boys. Sunday school class. So, I can see these old fellas walking around now that there used to be in my Sunday school class. But anyway, one Sunday I was sick and Fred said he would take my Sunday school class for me. And he came home and he said, "Well, you talk to those boys about Sunday school." And I said, "Well, I talked to them about the Sunday school lesson, whatever it is." And why? He said, "Well, I had talked to him about baseball, keep him quiet." And I said, "Yeah, and I bet you like to talk about baseball." But
speaking of baseball, there's a picture in here. Is this, by any chance, the Blue Clippers?
The bottom Blue Clippers. Yeah, and he had a team here too. That's the Midland team. Uh huh. The Blue Clippers are, I have a picture of the Blue Clippers.
What?
That's a Midland team. Is he in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, a Midland team. Yeah, they played on the south side somewhere. I've forgotten just exactly where it is. Yeah, that's them.
What was it, semi-pro or something like that?
Oh, yeah, just a local thing, you know, and they'd play maybe another bunch of locals. I don't think they even had Odessa. There's the old library. It was up there. That's the old library, Midland Library. That's where we put our second service station, right there. And that is where the Gibraltar Savings is now. Yeah, uh-huh.
That's in the 40s.
That's the fire. That's the fire right there. That's when it burned there. And this is the new one that we
did.
Did
you think about giving up after the second fire?
No, we didn't. No. No, we didn't think about it.
The one on the bottom that page before, the color picture, that was in the 40s, right after the open the Western Auto.
I see.
And then back.
Back here?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, we had the Western Auto. And that's the fire. And we just gradually bought those buildings. We bought this building first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bought the rest of them. I don't know what that is. There's the one that was up there where the Gibraltar service station is. And then we had a music store in Odessa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we took our music store to Odessa.
When that was in the 50s,
wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And that's the parade. Oh, we'd go to the music shows, and that was a real interesting. We'd go to the east to the music stores, and those are the people that worked for us there. And the delightful people, Mike Sugart, is the one that, and he's still in, he works Magnavox now. And then there's the wholesale Magnolia place. It's still down there, same location. What else is there? What else is back over this way?
You gotta get those in order
sometime. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I got them everywhere, uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the little boys that's the boys, that's our two boys, and then the little boys that work for Fred. They're cute, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Was that for newspaper advertising or something?
No, we just did. Oh, he did an awful lot of advertising too, but I think we just had those. That is Helen Margaret Ulmer and Martha Louise Nobles, and they came in to fill up, and he got that picture. See, with those tires, because they were such pretty girls, and I don't think he would use that for advertising without their.
Yeah, there's a billboard.
Huh?
There's a billboard.
Right. Yeah, that's a billboard. Yeah, we had billboards and signs everywhere. We all between Angelo and Midland and all up and down.
How'd you decide on the name Everready?
I don't know that there was any particular. It's just one of his ideas. He had real good ideas. Quite a promoter. He was quite a promoter.
Yeah, he was.
Uh-huh, he sure was. And I think it was just his. Something came to him. I don't think I remember any special reason. He might have had it and didn't say, but he named it. It's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Ever Ready. But we used to go to a lot of tire meetings he'd go to. I'd never yet. I know I was interested in that. It's when we got the music business. I knew more about that. That service station thing was kind of out of my line, except keeping the books.
I get the picture of you working under, working in the dark with lights.
No, we had lights, but,
with lights. And
had an old desk. We had an old secondhand desk in there, and we kept our money in the drawer, in the top drawer, and just pull it out, you know. It didn't even click when you pulled it out. You just pulled it out and stuck the money in there. There was, but you didn't have to protect things then like you do now. And then we put it in a little bag and bring it home at night and take it back in the morning, and he would. And when your mother was a little baby, we used to have a little cart. Miss Ingham gave it to me. And we had it lined real pretty, and she was just a little baby, and we'd pull her. It was just kind of like a little wagon thing, and it wasn't a baby buggy or anything like that. It was a kind of a little wagon cart thing. And we'd pull her back and forth to work, and I'd go down in the evening late and take her and stay until Dota closed. And then we'd stick the money in under her little cart, under her pillow thing, and come home at night with the walk. It would be so dark all along. We'd walk along. That's when we had apartments at Miss Ingham's, which wasn't too far out, you know. And
a lot of churches?
Well, yeah, the Baptist church was downtown, and the Christian church was downtown, and the Methodist church right where it is now. And we had churches all over. The Presbyterian church was the little church that Dota bought because they were building a new one. And that was right across the street from his old service station. Oh, was it? There was, when Mr. Vanman moved here, he had an apartment in that church, and it was real nice. It was just so convenient and nice. And we couldn't get a house, you know, and they didn't have any houses except people.
Was it growing real fast when you got here?
Not too, no. It started, I guess, I think it started about 19. Well, 30, I guess. It's when really, after the Depression, it started in growing. And we hardly knew there was a Depression. Well, we had our troubles. Now, I said we hardly knew it. We had our troubles. We had, I worked in the PTA at that time, and we'd go to, you know, and take, we gave milk to the children that weren't, that couldn't afford it to pay for it, and put little stockings on little legs that didn't have hose, you know, stockings to keep them warm. And it wasn't easy, but it wasn't near as bad, I think, as it was down in East Texas. We thought it was awful bad, but actually we didn't have it quite as bad as the other people.
What
Were they mostly like Mexican Americans or?
No, we didn't have. I drove way out in the country, south of town, to pick up a colored woman to come in to do my washing. We didn't have washing and dryers and things like that then, and the washing and the ironing. That's about all she did. And I'd drive out there and get her and bring her in that was while I was at Ms. Ingham's. Well, that was after we moved down on the corner too, from where we're old.